coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast. One of our sneaky favorite tour stops this past week in Connecticut, and we got all that we bargained for and more. We recap the amazing Sunday finish and everything that followed after in sudden death, plus some fun tidbits from around the world of golf, and the quarter tour domination continues, and quite the weekend recap, my trip back home, and yes, we'll get to a little bit of happenings in baseball as well, and everything we're tuned into outside of sports. And this week's guest is Wes Abbott from a really cool place called Pop Stroke. If you haven't heard of it and you just love to eat and drink and play mini golf, this place will blow your mind. We're going to take a nice little audio tour of this new up-and-coming golf experience. Plus, we always end with food, and all of it is brought to you by our friends at FlightScope, the makers of the Mevo, and many other really cool designs that help you track your game, understand your stats, and just get to know exactly what you're doing statistically with your golf game too. I love the Mevo because it's a nice little portable unit that I use when I hit golf balls in the backyard. You can take it with you to the range, a field, anywhere where you're hitting golf balls or just want to swing and get a feel to get yourself tuned in for your round. The Mevo is the exact right thing you need in your life. So again, check out FlightScopeGolf.com. Our promo code is COL10. That's COL10 for 10% off your Mevo unit. Check out their website. You can see guys like Bubba Watson, Bryson, and long drivers using it all the time. I love it in my backyard or at the range. It can be yours as well. So check out the Mevo from FlightScope Golf.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf, Groovit Golf, and Tosi Snacks. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, we're recording this on a Sunday evening because you were in Boston, so we had to adjust our recording schedule just a little. We were a little worried that we were never going to get on the air tonight.
Yes.
Because the Travelers Championship just wrapped up after a tying for the second longest playoff in 8 playoff holes. Let's rewind the clock a little bit to earlier in the day, though, because it looked like this was going to be Bubba Watson's day until he just completely collapsed and finished with nothing but bogeys or worse in his last 5 holes, which was really depressing. But for you, that meant that Harris English was in the hunt. Both of us had Bubba. You had Harris Yes. English on your card for picks this week. And it took 8 playoff holes and nothing but pars until English finally drained a birdie putt on 18 times 8 to make you a 3-time winner on tour with his victory here. How does it feel? Today,
it feels great. Quite a whirlwind Sunday, and I wasn't expecting Harris English to be the guy I was rooting for late on Sunday. I'm not gonna lie, you and I were in Camp Bubba all week, and we know horses for courses, which basically is an old golf term saying there's certain guys that just love to dominate certain venues. And I know from personal experience, Bubba loves it in Connecticut. I watched him win there in 2010. He won a second time afterwards. He loves this venue, so it was surprising to see him falter late in this stage.
And what's really surprising to me while we're talking Bubba too is that collapse, because really he completely imploded. Because I was thinking if he played well and didn't win, I was going to be saying this week, you know, what do we think about Bubba's chances at the British coming up in a few weeks? But now I don't know. Mentally, I'm a little concerned about Bubba now.
And it's interesting because we kind of do know that as much as we love Bubba and we love him as a guy and a golfer, we do know that he is a little mentally fragile, and he's talked very openly about kind of anxiety and kind of social interaction issues that he's had as a professional athlete. He's very thankful for everything the game's given him, but definitely there are moments when the moment becomes too big for him. And unfortunately, this was one of those times, but like you mentioned, I backdoored into my Harris English fan club. I almost forgot that I had him at the beginning of the week in my Twitter page. You can check them out weekly. I'm at Course of Life 1 and you're at MWR INC. But I tied you, Mike, finally. We're at 3-3 wins apiece now. But collectively, between us, the podcast has picked 6 outright winners in 2021. We're starting to find some good form now with our predictions.
Yeah, we're doing pretty well. And now the question is either of us going to ride the Kramer Hickok bandwagon? Because the crowd was certainly all behind him throughout playoff.
You love the Kramer. the Kramer chants were just instant Seinfeld vibes. By the way, side note, I'm recording in my childhood bedroom right now, and my mom actually got me the Kramer painting from famous Seinfeld episode. So I am looking at the Kramer right now as I dote these wonderful words about Kramer Hickok. He's a UT Longhorn, had some time in the Austin area. Fairly new name for people who are golf fans on tour. But he really was clutch when he needed to be down the stretch, also birdieing the 72nd hole to get in that playoff that we thought would never end. Mike, we were waiting for so long to record this evening. Mm-hmm. The real question, I really feel bad. How about those 60 Minutes fans? That's been a struggle all evening trying to get 60 Minutes on your TV. I feel bad for those people out there, the CBS viewers, because we were waiting a long time for this one to end.
Yeah, I will say it didn't seem like the story was going to be, one I was really going to hang around for. I mean, the right move for 60 Minutes, but that's okay. But Hickok, I feel like we're going to hear more out of him, but he certainly is a grinder. I think it's something like he's missed 20 cuts this year, and here he was in a playoff with someone who's won numerous times on tour in Harris English, right, going eight holes deep with him and really never making a mistake. He never made a mistake. He just wasn't able to drain those putts. He had a lot of lip outs that he should have had drop. Just the golf gods not smiling on him.
Eight playoff holes, and we had 15 pars and a birdie.
Yeah. How about that? Pretty impressive.
Hey, that's consistency. I'll say that.
It will be. So I feel like we're going to see Hickok some more. Of course, there were so many comparisons with Hickok to Jordan Spieth, because they were roommates in college, and they showed a very interesting picture on the air too of Hickok and Jordan playing together as kids, and Jordan had a Nike hat on and a mock neck shirt, and it just looked really weird.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. God, the Under Armour headquarters are scrambling right now after seeing that picture hit the airwaves.
But it was definitely a fantastic weekend, as always, in Cromwell, Connecticut, just outside of Hartford, for the Travelers Championship. This tournament is just always great. And it is really the only championship now in New England. But the good news is next year, we're going to have the U.S. Open at the Country Club in Boston.
Oh, yes. I had some preliminary conversation with my buddies back home here about maybe making that trip happen next summer for a return trip. So that definitely could be in the cards. Yeah, I love New England tournament golf. Obviously, have a lot of history going to tournaments, not only in Massachusetts, my home state, but in Connecticut, where you and I went to school. So yeah, it's neat to see the Travelers get that showcase. And again, it's just, this is the little tournament that could, like the little engine that could on the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. The Travelers always finds a way to just have a unique or grand stage finish. And sure enough, they did it again this week.
Let's talk a little bit about our favorite rivalry on tour as well before we get into some of the other massive headlines in golf this week. Brooks versus Brooksy.
Yes, that's right. Quick update on that. Obviously, we're following the Brooks Koepka versus Bryson DeChambeau feud, which is ongoing. It's been a little bit of a side story this week since we didn't see them super close to the leaderboard. Bryson popped in the top 10 for a little while on Saturday. But the one thing I noticed, I've been seeing language from them in some brief interview clips and social media posts, is I'm noticing that they're starting to do something that I don't like. They're hinting that there's some sort of end game, and they keep saying things like, there's going to be an end game to this. And I feel like they're hinting at some sort of pay-per-view that's already planned behind our back. And I'm wondering if maybe Brooks and Brooksy have just pulled the wool over our eyes, and they knew this whole feud was a sham from the get-go. I'm concerned that they're really playing this up for the pip and that bonus money, you know?
Listen, the only end game that I will accept is a celebrity death match back on MTV of the two of them.
Yes, that's the more absurd version of the pay-per-view that you and I would like to see. Unfortunately, it might just be 18 holes with a handshake at the end and a couple jokes in between.
Are they going to have a pile of money like they had for the match? Just kind of sitting behind them as they play 18.
Knowing those two, that's fair enough. What I'd really like to do is I'd like to just see the two of them just whip their wallets out and just actually throw money like on the green for side bets if there we really go. Want to do this aggressively. So, yeah. The bottom line is just kind of stay tuned and don't be surprised when you hear that the Brooks versus Brooksy match is already planning
to
happen.
And if there is going to be a side bet, one of them better be at some point Brooks throwing down a $100 bill on the green and going, all right, do 50 push-ups and then make your par.
Yes. And knowing Bryson, he'll try and do 100 and then miss the putt horribly. That would be That's him true. Just overachieving, of course.
let's talk about the LPGA Tour. I'm officially calling it the Korda Tour because Nelly Korda is dabomb.com. Let's just say it that way. She won the KPMG Women's PGA. She's the world number one golfer, the first American in 7 years to be the world number one now. Just massive year for Americans in the LPGA. It's either 6 or 7 wins for Americans on the LPGA Tour this year.
At this point, which is a great stat because the knock on the worldwide talent on the LPGA Tour is that, you know, we weren't getting enough Americans into the fold to capture the American golfing audience, and that is integral, especially when you base a lot of events here. And to now see this, you know, you were going back in the record books of past Americans that had gotten to number one before we hopped on, but it's funny, we've been jokingly calling the LPGA the Korda Tour, but like, this is actually real now. Nelly Korda not only is surpassing her older sister Jessica's accomplishments on tour, but she has leapfrogged to the number one position in the world. Like you said, very rarefied air for someone at that age.
Yeah, first American since Stacey Lewis did it back in 2014. And now really also, by the way, only the third American to ever reach world number one ranking.
That's awesome. And shout out to our friends at the First Tee. I'm going to shout out a 9 core value, and it's an easy one. It's confidence. We talked about her rolling the rock better than anyone on tour the last several weeks. Just won recently. She puts herself in contention often. And you know how this works. When you get a lot of at bats in professional golf tournaments, you get your name up on the leaderboard, you're just going to fall into wins when you give yourself this many opportunities. And we're starting to see that with Nelly Korda, and the domination is real now.
I mean, what's also impressive to me is that Nelly was able to be so dominant this week after winning last week as well. Just to win 2 weeks in a row, we know how difficult it is to win on any tour at any level once. To do it twice in a row is just phenomenal with this kind of pressure to reach the world number one status as well.
Yeah, and then that week before the major winner, you always kind of back off and you're like, just blew their load a week too early. Not the case at all. Shout out to Nelly Korda rising to the top of the world rankings and just absolutely crushing women's golf right now.
Another young golfer that we do like to talk about on this podcast is Victor Hovland, who became the first Norwegian to win on the European Tour this past weekend. He's now the first Norwegian to win on both the European and the PGA Tour. So Victor Hovland, future major champion at the British Open coming up.
Yes. I mean, listen, the horrible thing happened. You remember I put money on him at Torrey and he had the weird thing happen.
When
he was getting
eye.
Ready for his practice round. He was hitting some practice bunker shots. If for anyone who hadn't heard this, he just hit a shot where some extra sand just came up and hit him in the eye. I didn't really think much of it immediately when it happened. And all of a sudden throughout the next day or two, he was like losing vision and like his eye was killing him. Couldn't even really get over the ball and hit it properly the way he wants to when you only got one eye. Yeah, it's a little bit more difficult. So he had to pull out of the tournament, and here he is rebounding, just casually flies halfway around the world and wins on the European Tour days later. I mean, these guys just piss me off sometimes, Mike, when I see players like this who almost knock their eye out with a bunker shot and just fly halfway around the world and win on the European Tour a week later. It's like these guys are good is not said enough.
We just don't have the drive and the talent in order to play golf week after week and come back from something like sand in the eye and win. We do have the mediocre ability to record a podcast every week, and that's what we do for you people listening.
Well, I did tell you earlier, the Travelers Championship playoff almost ended our podcast because we were not able to do this on a Monday recording like we like to. We're talking late Sunday night here. Thankfully, My guy Harris English got it done at that 34-1 winner for me. I said in my tweet, drinks are normally on me, Mike, but I'm actually just too tired from the day and the whole weekend. So I'm too tired. So it's okay. Drinks on me at a later date.
At a later date. Let's talk about the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit coming up this next weekend. Bryson DeChambeau defends. Of course, we always just like to throw out Nate Lashley again because he joined us on this podcast
2019 champ.
After his win in 2019. So what do we think here for the Rocket Mortgage? We're a week out. Who are we putting money on here?
I mean, Bryson's Kramer got Hickok. Decent form. Yeah, how about Kramer Hickok getting a revisionist history and getting a second crack at it if he's in good form? How about a dollar on our friend of the show, Willie Mack, who got a sponsor's exemption into this tournament? I love seeing the opportunities that he's getting. This guy's a dog. He's a fighter on the golf course, and we've seen him win at a lot of different levels. He has an amazing story. Check our archives from last year in our interview with Willie Mack, where he chronicles everything that he's gone through to get himself to the position he is in the game of golf. So I'm going to be looking forward to following our buddy Willie Mack out there. Send him some words of encouragement tonight, and I know he's already at the facilities. He got a practice round in a couple weeks ago, so we'll definitely be following him on social media as well. Be sure to tune in and check him out on the leaderboard. So I'll throw a dollar there, and you can be sure to check the rest of the picks at Course of Life 1 on Twitter. Coming off a win, so let's see if we can get two in a row.
We'll see what happens. As we typically say, don't put money on someone to win twice in a row, but Nelly Korda just did it, so, you know.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, listen, Harris English already got two wins on this season as well, too. Who says he couldn't get a third? You know, guys go in waves. It's the knack of the PGA Tour and how deep the tour is now. Like, I was just casually watching with some members of my family, and these are casual sports fans that don't tune into a whole lot of golf, and they just say, you know, all these names, every week I feel like I'm seeing a new name. I got used to Spieth and Rory and Ricky, and every week it feels like it's someone new. I'm like, yeah, that's because the game is just so deep right now. So guys like Harris English can thrive if they get hot.
It's true. That's true. Like you said, we'll have our picks up on Wednesday on Twitter. Make sure to keep an eye out for that. Now let's turn over to Tuned In, sharing what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. Alex, like we've been saying this whole top of this podcast, you're out there in Boston because it's still wedding season. It still is. So
it's nice.
Do you get crab cakes on wedding season part two yet?
Yeah, I posted Always End with Food Pod is our food podcast Instagram, and I posted a wonderful cocktail hour spread, which I know you saw. They had, you'll appreciate this appetizer, was a coconut chicken, not coconut shrimp, coconut chicken with the same exact kind of sweet Thai chili sauce. I love that. But yeah, wedding's back two weekends in a row for me. I've just been tuned into the wedding life. Basically, last weekend I was at a wedding in Texas. This one in your home state of New Hampshire as well. Took the drive up, live free or die. Shout out to the Granite State. So it was good to be back up there. I actually tried to take a picture of a Hannaford grocery store and send it to you because I knew you'd appreciate that.
I would.
Just too blurry. Sorry.
It's
about
okay.
That.
I'll see a Hannaford in a couple weeks. I'll be up there in a couple weeks. I'll see my Hannafords. I'll see my market baskets. I'll get some ice cream and some maple syrup, and we'll have a good time.
But for anyone obviously who hasn't gotten back together with their family, it's great to have the full family reunion this weekend. You know, just jokes and everything aside, it's like all these family members you hadn't seen in a couple of years, and just to have everyone under one roof partying again and all together and celebrating love for family members. It was a great time. And be sure to tune into the food podcast, like I mentioned, and I'll tell you all about the wonderful spread we had as well.
Shameless plug. For me, I was hoping to be tuned in to some time at Topgolf this past week. We actually, the wife and I got in the car. We drove 2 hours south Jacksonville on Tuesday afternoon, thinking that there wouldn't be any issues getting into play. And we found that there was an hour and a half wait, so I wasn't tuned into Topgolf.
I know it's a tough sell. You got to get there right time. I mean, like, sometimes it's like go in the morning too, which is a little awkward. It's not quite the vibe you're looking for.
Really, we got there at like 11:30. We were going to have lunch, and it was hour and a half wait. We were like, forget it. Okay. And we turned around and left. So
a very in-demand place, and also a perfectly professional segue to another really cool golf facility, which I'm excited for everyone else to hear about too. Based in Florida too, so I'm interested to hear everyone's impressions of a Popstroke versus Topgolf as well too.
Yeah, you had the chance to talk with the guy who runs it, who does Popstroke. It's mini golf course design by Tiger Woods, food, drinks, all this fun stuff. I may have to do a road trip down to Florida to this place because
It's basically like Top Golf, but for mini golfers, essentially, which is everybody. Everyone's a mini golfer at heart. And it was really cool to go behind the scenes of this facility. Basically, you know, me as a golfer, I love these golf concepts where I can bring non-golfers in and show them what I love about the game. It's a really great way to kind of grow your friend circle as well, too, bring new people in new social situations. I know you love that experience as well. And then I heard that Tiger Woods was designing a mini golf course, and I was immediately all in. That's all I needed to be fascinated with this place. So I had to do some digging, and that's how I found out a lot more about Popstroke and this week's guest, Wes Abbott.
That's right. We'll have that interview with Wes Abbott in just a moment. But first, as always, we want to let you know that it's brought to you by Desert Fox Golf, our friends of the show and the makers of the Phone Caddy. The Desert Fox team is based in Arizona, so they know golf, and the Phone Caddy is crafted by both golfers and engineers. The Phone Caddy is unique because it mounts right onto your golf cart in seconds in a place where you can actually see and use your phone. You can keep your yardage and scoring apps at your fingertips, change music, answer calls and texts, and more, all with the Phone Caddy from Desert Fox. It's the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the course at all times. The Phone Caddy works seamlessly with almost any phone model and quickly becomes the talk of your foursome. And for our listeners, you can save 10% off your purchase of a Phone Caddy with the promo code COURSEOFLIFE. It comes in a range of colors, and you can even show your support with their patriotic line. So head on over to DesertFoxGolf.com to get your Phone Caddy, and don't forget to use the promo code COURSEOFLIFE to save 10%. Again, that's promo code COURSEOFLIFE at DesertFoxGolf.com.
Next up on the tee, we've got the guy who runs the show at Popstroke in Fort Myers, a very unique golf experience open to anyone in Florida and soon expanding beyond as well, too. We're going to hear all about that experience. It's Wes Abbott joining us on The Course of Life. Wes, how's it going today?
Good, man. Yourself?
Definitely. It's great to have you on. We caught up a little bit on Southwest Florida, one of my favorite parts of the country where you are. Tell me first a little bit. I'm curious about your background in golf as people look up Popstroke and they're listening to this interview. It's a unique golf experience, but has your background in golf, you know, been through just playing the game, or do you have background in the golf business as well?
Yeah, so I think I took up the game, like a lot of people, a little later in life when I played some baseball up until through high school and whatnot, and picked it up as I was in college. Did a little bit there, fell in love with it, got the bug like everybody else. I moved to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, from around Asheville, North Carolina, where I was going to college in 2015 to attend the Golf Academy of America. Wanted to pursue a career in it. Like a lot of different people, it's a, you know, you realize that you're how good these guys and girls are out there. You're not quite there. And I spent a lot of time in the food and beverage industry. After that, I got down to Florida. My wife's from Fort Lauderdale originally. So after we left, we came a little bit north of Port St. Lucie. And it was actually a, I kind of consider it fate. I wasn't really looking. I got a notification in my email inbox that, you know, somebody wanted me to take a look at a job. So I opened it up and whatnot, and then I was blown away, obviously, just by the renderings in the beginning. So, but it's a, came to fate for me. It's a perfect thing. A lot of time in the food and beverage industry, coupled with the love of the game, knowledge of the game, whatnot, and this was couldn't have been a more perfect avenue for me.
Very cool. We have very similar backgrounds. Love to hear that. So let me tell you, what were your thoughts when you first heard the concept? Because when I first heard that Tiger Woods was designing a mini golf course, that headline stuck out to me. I'm curious. So you saw the renderings of early Popstroke and what it was set to be. What were your first reactions when you heard about the concept?
Yeah, so it's kind of a funny story, as in our very first location in Port St. Lucie is actually the brainchild of Greg Bartoli, the original founder and owner of Popstroke. And he owned and operated a couple successful traditional mini golf courses in Jupiter, one called Lighthouse Cove. And he saw the need in the entertainment space for more of an upscale putting experience outside of the traditional, you know, windmills and mushrooms and alligators.
Right, yeah.
You know, bumper type stuff, right? So he, you know, got to work and got it going. But we actually opened that location in Port St. Lucie in April of 2019. To a lot of fanfare, things going on, kind of caught the eye of, you know, the right people. And we happened to know some people within TGR. They were interested and came out, checked it out. And, you know, the rest is history, so they say. So the first one designed by a group out of California, but Fort Myers would be our first Tiger course. And no, I think if you look into it, you can see it. Tiger's, you know, love of the game and the time that he spent, you know, putting. Putting is a integral part, not only, you know, to the game and competitive and whatnot, but I mean, everybody can do it.
Yeah.
And I think he's that vision. And this is a way for him to give back on many different levels.
I appreciate, yeah, what he's done as well, too. Everything surrounding TGR and his foundation, too, how he's worked that in to this design. And you're right. It's a unique concept because, you know, you've seen resorts that have these kind of putting courses or fancy, you know, golf course locations that do. But you've never seen a casual venue like this with food, alcohol and all sorts of entertainment that surrounds it. I'm curious in terms of the experience itself. You know, there's lots of different interactive ranges and lots of different golf concepts that are bringing non-golfers in. What's kind of the mix of golfers versus non-golfers that you see on a daily basis visiting Pop Stroke, since it is very friendly to even non-golfers with it just being putting?
Yeah, I think it's one of the beautiful parts about it is that we say it a lot when we talk is 3 to 93. I mean, we offer,
yes,
we do, you know, kids days. I mean, we have a location, a playground at every one of our locations. Some mom, dad, grandmother can come along, have a good time. And if the kids aren't really, you know, I don't know if you have children, but I do. I know their attention span is short. Mm. And so we, you know, we have it out there. And so we see a wide variety. And I think that's what makes us and separates us from some of the other interactive, you know, golf experiences out there. I remember, you know, I can say that probably majority of our parents and sometimes even our grandparents have probably been on a date to putt-putt or mini golf at some point in time. So it's a tried and true part of the game, and having it in a little different setting where it works, and it's a, we knew we had something, we knew we loved it, we knew it was great, us as golfers. But I mean, you see people enjoying it, like you said, on many different levels.
Very cool. Yeah, it's really shows in photos and video as well. Follow Pop Stroke on all social media accounts to get a hint for what the experience is like and get there to Florida. But I'm curious, before we take kind of an audio tour of the neat features of Pop Stroke, I want to skip to the end. I'm curious, what is the feedback that you get most often from maybe first time customers that leave? You know, obviously you mentioned it sparks the memories of adults and having, you know, mini golf dates when they were younger. But what's kind of the most common feedback you hear from guests when they first visit and leave?
I think that for the most part, I think people are truly blown away with the look of the course. Taking a, you know, 18-hole golf course and shrinking it down to a putting course. And that's where, you know, the design with Brian from TGR, where he's able to give it that real golf course look. I think people are able to, you know, get in and come. It's a, you know, depending on, you know, time of day, time of year, you know, around about an hour to play. And we're a very, you know, go, go, go society now. So you got to get everything you need in one. And I think that is the biggest part of it. I think that you're able to get your entire family experience, an affordable family experience also, and able to do it in a couple hours without going to multiple places. I think the days of getting up and then going to eat and then going to see a movie and then going to the ice cream shop afterwards. I think, you know, that ship has sailed for a lot of people. Time is important to everybody, so you want to make sure that you can get it. So I think that would probably be the biggest feedback is people are able to come, do everything they want to do in one location. It's fun. Repeat customers are saying, not just people coming for the destination.
Love that. Cool. So let's take a little audio tour for our audience listening at home who is yet to get to PopStroke. And let's just start with the basics, because I know when you go to, you know, courses or mini golf courses or top golf facilities or anything of the like, obviously checking in and finding out, you know, that you may not be able to get on the course immediately is an obstacle when you visit places like this. But the thing I love about PopStroke is everything else that surrounds the golfing experience as well. So when you check in at PopStroke, what else is there to do for you while you wait?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll walk you through the you know, the whole kind of process, which I think separates us a little bit. It kind of starts, so when people make their way through our doors, we let them know about our app, that being a big portion of what we're doing with the business. You can download the app. We have a reward system that we call Pop Bucks that goes, you can bank into your account with every dollar that you spend. So we do have a nice customer rewards system in place. Also, if you come through, check in, you know, greeted by our people behind our golf counter, you can make a decision then whether you want to go ahead and play, eat, do it in either which order, right? So I just walk you through how it'd be. So if I, you know, come in and I'm going to play first, I'm ready to go, and then we'll eat afterwards. We'll check you in, give you the opportunity. One of the unique things is we have, you can download the app, get that going. You can also order drinks from the app to be delivered to you out on the golf course.
Oh man, what a feature that is.
Right. So we also have, in Fort Myers, we have local crafts along with your traditional beers, wine, and whatnot to offer to take out right from the beginning. You can make your way up to our little service bar and grab a cocktail if that's what you prefer. Then you make your way out. Like I say, go through, do the course. We can serve you on there. I know you mentioned our Jumbotron earlier. That's also part of the app. You can get your entire group in there and see your name up on the Jumbotron and keep score through our app. Our low round of each day, we send out a round on us for the next time. So it's, you know, it gives you an incentive to get your name up there. It's also cool, you know, yes, if you're going with 3-4 of your buddies and you got visual proof other than, you know, of it. That, you know, on who won or whatnot.
Oh, yeah. And this is not just a TV screen either. This is a legit Jumbotron for the golf fans who are wondering and need the bragging rights too. I saw that in the photos.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a, you know, and then on a good night too, another big sporting event. Like we have the U.S. Open this weekend. Obviously, we'll be pumping, you know, even though Tiger's, you know, still on the mend, we'll be pumping, you know, the U.S. Open over it, especially as we get to the weekend and things get tense out at Torrey. So, yeah, as you go your way through there, we also get through play and post your score, come back up. We have two full-service bars along with a restaurant and a neat beer garden area where we have a lot of different ping pong, cornhole, foosball, things like that. So you can sit out there and have a cocktail with your friends as you go through all of that. Altogether a great experience for sure.
I love that. And golf fans are just drooling right now, just listening to this concept and everything you have to offer. It really is a full day that you can make of it. So you can play 18. I see 36 hole options. And then you guys have even an unlimited play option I saw on the website. So y'all really just let me go around and play unlimited all day. How does that work?
Yeah. So I think the unlimited play option is another good one too. I mean, if you're, want to make a day of it, you obviously can come, you know, get your 18 in, maybe have some lunch, you know, go back and do, you know, whatever else it is you're doing for the day, you know, come back at night. I think the hardcore golfers for sure jump on the unlimited play option. Yes. I know if I was few of my buddies, you know, unlimited is the way to go, right?
Yeah, I saw that. That was a home run for me. So I'll definitely be doing that when I make my visit this fall to Fort Myers location. I want to talk about the food and drink because we love talking about that. We also have our own food podcast as well too, but I'm curious about the menu. Talk to me about the food and drink offerings. You mentioned that on-course service, which is just a second to none feature, but talk through some of the variety that people can get there in terms of food and beverage.
Absolutely. I mean, we take our culinary part of our business as serious as we take the mini golf side of it. So okay, we have a menu, hand tailored and created to what we're doing here. You'll find a lot of a Southwest Florida Fair to some of it, a lot of local fresh fish coming in, things of that nature. We have a really, really great Churrasco skirt steak. That's probably one of the more popular items on the menu altogether.
Sounds
great. Burgers, ham patty, great, burgers, drinks. Like I said, we have two bars. We have a signature cocktail menu that with a lot of great libations on it. So, and then your traditional in the craft menu, craft beer, which I spoke about before, a lot of five different local crafts that we feature as we try to, keep the community involved in what we're doing.
Love that. Let's talk about kind of the communities and where Popstroke is headed from here. Things have started off great in Florida. You mentioned Fort Myers and Port St. Lucie. Now let's talk expansion. You did hint before we popped on that there's some new locations in the mend. I saw a potential Scottsdale location, all other cool cities being teased on the website, but what's the immediate future looking like for you as Popstroke grows?
Yeah. So I think, like you mentioned earlier, if you follow us along on all of our social platforms, along with checking us out on our website, you'll find Sarasota probably being our next, location coming soon, along with Orlando, Delray Beach, Florida, and Wesley Chapel, Tampa area, Katy / Houston, Texas area, along with Glendale and Scottsdale. So all of these are, up and going and getting, plans in place and whatnot. So it's been want to get this out to the masses as quick as we can. So we're definitely super excited about the expansion.
It's exciting. You're picking great locations too. I got family in Southwest Florida. I'm here in Texas, just a drive away from what's upcoming in Houston. And I mean, Scottsdale, that's going to be a home run location once it is, because everyone knows how golf hungry of a city that is. So I look forward to the expansion. Everyone definitely follow Popstroke on Instagram and social medias, like Wes mentioned. Let's get to some quick shot questions before we wrap up now with you. Wes Abbott here from Popstroke joining us on The Course of Life. So I'm planning a trip to Florida, like I mentioned, this fall. I'm curious about getting groups together, though. How does it work if you want to do like a large party booking or a special event at Popstroke?
Yeah, you can. There's a link to an event, plan your next event on our website. You can also reach out to each individual location if you wanted to go that way. We are a first come, first serve basis. That's one of the things that makes it really cool when you talk about coming up to check us out. Takes usually, and it's, within 5 to 7 minutes, come in and you can get right out on the course, even at some of our busier times.
Love that. That's nice. Okay. Very cool. Awesome. So for Popstroke, I'm curious, we talked about that Jumbotron. What's the course record? How low can people go on this course? It's very realistically simulated to what it's like to putt on an actual golf course. So I'm curious kind of how many under par you've seen on some of the venues.
Yeah. So we actually run tournaments monthly also.
Love that.
So we have, believe it or not, there's a gentleman here in Fort Myers who actually competed on Holy Moly.
Yes, we're big fans of that show here. We've had several guests on too. Who was it? That's your ringer there.
The Van Duzer family.
Oh yes, okay, do remember them? Nice.
Yeah.
How low are the best scores there? I mean, can you go what, 5 under, 10 under? I've got no concept of how low you can go there.
Yeah, I think you can. I think you could. Good putter, seasoned putter, I think they can flirt with that 8 to 10 under range.
Okay. I'm going to be looking out for that, trying to set the record when I get there in October. The mini golf tournaments, that reminds me of kind of throwback ESPN 2 days where they used to throw those on TV, but it's a lot more impressive now at Popstroke. How many people do you guys get, and what's the atmosphere like when you do the mini golf tournaments? I'm fascinated.
We actually sold our first one out. So we,
nice.
75 is our capacity here in Fort Myers. We do it on, obviously we're still open for business, so we do it on one course. But no, we have a great turnout. We do a buffet. Now that we're kind of, eased up here a little bit on, some of the restrictions we have. So we do a buffet and, have a great, great turnout, good time. People love it. People just having a good time, and also people taking it, super serious. So it's a great time. Well, good prizes too. We've done several signed Tiger items, a few Scotty Cameron putters that we've used for first place. So
Oh, signed Tiger item. Sign me up. I'm in for that to compete for sure. Again, Wes Abbott from Pop Stroke. Our final question, which you set up nicely earlier, is our 19th hole question. You mentioned a few great items at Pop Stroke. The question is, let's pick one meal and drink for you after you play 18 or 36 at Pop Stroke and you sit down. What's your go-to choice off the menu for a meal and drink there?
Yeah, so probably for me, it's our double birdie sandwich. So we have a grilled chicken along with fresh sliced turkey that we have some melted cheese and a little bit of barbecue sauce on, then with some sliced onion straws on top. And I'm a big fan of local craft beer when I go. So the Fort Myers Brewing Company has been great with us here. And they have a high five IPA. That's just, so that would be me. The craft beer scene is up and booming, obviously, everywhere, and we have a great selection of local beers.
So. Love that, and definitely keep the craft beer community vibe going with the future locations as well. That's a neat feature.
Will do.
Wes, thank you so much for hopping on the Course of Life. Appreciate you taking us on that audio tour of Pop Stroke. I can't wait to get out to the facility and looking forward to following the expansion as well.
All right, Ash, we'll have to get 18 in when you get here.
Will do. Sounds like a plan.
All right.
That interview with Wes Abbott from Pop Stroke is brought to you by our friends at Groovit Golf, makers of the Groovit Golf Brush. You've seen it on the bag of tour caddies and your favorite athletes and golf personalities on social media, and it is the brush to put on your bag right now. This brush's patented pump sprays water or cleaning solution right onto the club face for you, making it quick and efficient to clean clubs or even your golf ball in seconds. The Groovit Brush includes a detachable magnet so you can bring the brush to the club head. And the Groovit brush comes with a 3-year bristle guarantee. That means if you can wear out the brush head cleaning golf clubs in 3 years, send it back and Groovit will get you a free replacement. So prepare to be amazed with the consistency and control that Clean Grooves will give you. Using your existing golf clubs with the Groovit, you'll get the spin, trajectory, and consistency you're looking for. So head on over to grooveitbrush.com to get your Groovit brush with free shipping in the U.S. Again, that's grooveitbrush.com to get your Groovit brush today. And we're back. Great chat there with Wes. Can't wait to go check out one of these down there in Florida. It's a couple hours away from me. It's a little more than a day trip, but I'm, you know, may have to go.
This might be your top golf placement right here. I mean, and the mini golf aspect's really fun. Makes it super universal. And the thing I like the most out of all the fun little features at these Pop Stroke facilities is the on-course service mic. That's luxurious. I love this idea. I call in an order, you know, on hole 6, and meet me on the 9th green after I make a hole in one and deliver me my drinks and food, please, for the backside. Really cool to see where potentially this concept is going to go. I have a feeling we're going to see a lot more Pop Stroke locations around the summer around the country in years to come. This is a really cool concept. I can't wait to go check out that Fort Myers facility myself this fall when I get down there too.
Yeah, you know, if they want to open one up here in Savannah, I will happily come run it for them.
Oh, wow. I'm going to dead serious put you in touch.
Yeah.
I'm going to start that conversation and see if they got any plans for Southern Georgia.
The Pooler, Georgia area just outside of Savannah is one of the fastest growing areas in the country. Hands down, it is ripe for something like this.
This is one of those things where, like, we're actually not joking for everyone's listening. I'm mm-hmm. actually just going to get you on the email tomorrow when I talk to the team there and we start promoting this week's great episode. And guess what? We're gonna make this happen, Mike. I think I got your next career for you.
There you go. Great I love place. It. let's also remind everyone that now's a great time for them to rate our podcast with 4 stars, 5 stars, thumbs up, whatever the heck it is on your podcast app. Subscribe on the podcast app you're listening to us to. Share it with a friend. Any of those things makes us know we're doing a great job and lets us do more of what we do and really makes us feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
It's just that little reinforcement we need. We don't need much because we love hearing our voices, but we do need just a little bit of reinforcement to record this each week. So we appreciate the support.
Speaking of reinforcement, Alex, I know that you want to get something off your chest. You got 60 seconds here to go ahead and laugh your ass off at me because you swept my Yankees and you got to see it happen.
Oh, yeah. So the Yankees are garbage. I did not realize this, Mike. Mm-hmm. This is breaking news coming in to the Course of Life news desk here. Got to finish my lovely weekend trip home with Red Sox Yankees at a full Fenway Park, which was just a wild feeling, by the way. I've talked about my return to live sports, but that was the capper. Mike, you forget, before I get the bragging out of the way, you really forget how much the Yankees and Red Sox hate each other. Like, we just kind of like have a casual hatred towards it and it drives a lot of our conversation, but there's just like some really, really mean spirited and just absolutely abhorrent things said between Red Sox and Yankees fans at Fenway Park on a Sunday afternoon. It's really mind blowing.
You know, I got to let you in on a secret, Alex. Thanks to our mutual love and affection for Seinfeld, I've actually tapered down my hatred for you as a Red Sox fan.
If you had seen me at Fenway Park, you would have really hated me because I was obnoxious when those home runs were flying over the monster this afternoon and I was letting everyone know it. I sent you a couple of annoying videos as well too, rubbing in the weekend win. But yeah, it felt great to absolutely pummel the Yankees, just waving bye to all the Yankees fans leaving early in their seats. They wasted so much money, Mike. You know, I just feel really bad for those Yankees fans. They tried to make a weekend of this, you know, come up to Boston, see your Yankees play, and to see them, I really feel bad for those people that have wasted their good, hard-earned money on that horrible baseball product, Mike. What do you have to say? Halfway point in the season now, that sweep definitely was a surprisingly great result for Red Sox fans. I don't know. Where do you sit right now on the Yankees after this horrible weekend for you?
When's football preseason start?
Yes. We're 45 days of training camp, right? That's right.
There you go.
It's just, honestly, the bats are just cold as hell for the Yankees. It really was.
I will say, yeah, I mean, that's been the problem all season for the Yankees. The pitching has been pretty good. The offense has been ice cold, which is just atrocious. And this was supposed to be the Yankees' year because last year they did really well and all the pieces were coming together. Yeah. And this year it's a mess. So now the question is, how much longer is Aaron Boone going to be the coach of the Yankees? So.
Seriously. I mean, I was just Gerrit Cole, he really needed that sticky stuff, apparently. Because he was struggling out there today. He got absolutely tattooed second pitch of the game right over the Green Monster. That's when we know it's going to be a fun day at Fenway when that happens that early. But great to be back out at the ballpark regardless, getting that full Fenway Park vibe, the wave, God bless America, Sweet Caroline, the Fenway Frank, Mike. I did it all. It was great to be back.
So here's the question then, because you got me thinking about this. I've had of the baseball games that I've been to, my most memorable has been at Fenway Park. So where does this rate for you in terms of memorable baseball games?
Wow, that's a great question. I'm trying to think off the top of my head if there's any others that are super notable. And I don't think so, just because of the fact that this was Red Sox-Yankees, the year it was, the fact that Fenway Park's only been open for a month or so, for full capacity, and you could really feel the energy in the ballpark. People were just desperately waiting for something big to happen, and that did happen this weekend.
Yeah, it's, you know, you think about people coming back to the stands, and it was, again, my most memorable time at a game was at Fenway, the first game back after the Boston Marathon bombing.
Oh, wow.
One of the most, we just happened to have tickets to this game. The energy when you have everyone there wanting to get out stress or being relieved to be safe or somewhere that they feel safe again. At a sporting event and to have that experience with everyone. Yes, it sucks that you guys beat my Yankees, but I'm happy that you got to have that experience right now.
It was so cool. It really was. And it's funny, you'll appreciate this comment that my wife made, and for anyone else who's been to a sporting event, we unfortunately had a couple of moments where there was an accidental drop of beer spilt on the back of my wife's shirt. And it's the little things like that when you have like some really annoying people like in the crowd behind you that are just relentlessly heckling. It's like, you know, you love that we're getting back to sports, but once you get through seven innings, you also remember that there are some things that I also hate about completely packed stadiums. Yeah. So there's a bit of a trade-off there, but regardless, it was great to be back with the Red Sox faithful.
Well, congrats to you, and that's the last we're going to talk about baseball for the rest of the season.
Halfway season point. It's early. You know how this goes. We'll be fighting it out in September, just like we are every year.
I hope so. Yeah. But in the meantime, let's hashtag always end with food.
Yeah, shout out to our friends at Toasty Snacks. They make the Toasty Bites and Super Bites. We love them as a golf course snack. You can put them in the car, pre-gym. Great, just quick, easy 3-4 bite snack to give you the fuel you need. My favorite flavors are peanut, dark chocolate, and almond blueberry. They're in golf courses all around the world, but you can check out promo code COL20 at toasty.com/COL and get 20% off that way as well, too. So shout out to Toasty Bites. Always End With Food is all about me being back at home and home cooking. New England style. Got to spend some time on the Cape. Definitely got the fried seafood in as well, too, which was a must. Got the fried shrimp. Didn't get the lobster I want. I know I had mentioned that, but that didn't get to cross that off. And obviously, ending the weekend with mom's spaghetti and the legendary sauce with the secret ingredient that I have been sworn to secrecy. I will not ever share.
That's
just
okay.
Know it's a great weekend.
I have a different question for you around mom's spaghetti. What brand spaghetti does she use? Is she a Prince spaghetti? Is she using Barilla? I mean, do you know what she's using? Because that can be contentious sometimes.
I think it's Barilla thin spaghetti, and every once in a while she'll mix up penne for the kids since they like it, since it's a little easier to eat.
Yep.
Typically Barilla thin, though. But yeah, great to be home, get the home cooking in, and I'm fueled up to head home to Texas for the rest of the year.
There you go. For me this past week, in terms of what I was eating, was the other stuff we did down in Jacksonville after not playing Topgolf.
Yes.
We went to Trader Joe's because close to Trader Joe's is 2 hours away in Jacksonville.
Yes. That's just a little Georgia thing to say. I love that. Yeah. Closest Trader Joe's, hours away. I mean, what else are we going
to
do?
Well, we keep asking for them to bring one to Savannah, but then they go, no, we don't want to do that. So, we get the short end of the stick once again here, which also they've said a Topgolf has been coming here for the last 2 years, and that obviously hasn't happened yet. So
you're still waiting.
But at Trader Joe's, I got mochi ice cream treats. You ever gotten mochi ice cream?
Well, explain that. You're not saying mocha. You're saying mochi.
Mochi. So it's ice cream wrapped in mochi. Mochi is a rice. I believe it's Japanese. It could be Chinese. I could be very wrong, and I apologize to everyone over there. But it's rice that's like beaten to a pulp, and it becomes really chewy and delicious. Flatness and stuff, and then they wrap it around the ice cream.
It's like a wonderful breading for your ice cream.
I wouldn't call it a breading. I don't think that's an appropriate descriptive term for it. It's it's chewy. It's very chewy. So you're just gonna have to go out and get yourself some.
Yeah, try it. Experienced that before. That's a first for me. I'm gonna do it.
The wife did not like it at all. She took one bite and handed it back to me.
At least she tried, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'll give her props for that.
Love that. If you want to hear more food conversation as well, check out Always End With Food Pod. We just put out our June episode as well, too. We featured Kea from Spring Baking Championship. She was the season 7 champion on that Food Network show. So we highlighted her baking career, the run to the championship, and everything like that. So again, check out Always End With Food Pod for more of that great conversation. And we'll always be back weekly on Course of Life. So everyone have a good week.